The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction. Today is July 31st, 2022, the last day of July, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Less than 48 hours after a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, Georgia Republican Senate nominee Herschel Walker was asked on Fox News about the nation's gun violence problem and what he thinks should be done about it. Here's what he said.
Well, Cain killed Abel, and that's the problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women, that's looking at just social media? What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way? But yet they want to just continue to talk about taking away your constitutional rights. And I think there are more things we need to look into. This has been happening for years, and the way we stop it, by putting money into the mental health field, by putting money into other departments rather than departments that want to take away your rights.
Yes, really. That's what he said. I know.
Boy, that's something. I mean, you know, Jonathan O'Meara, I'll admit, I did not follow Dr. Oz's career closely. All these things, these magic little beans that he said and these magic extra, I mean, it really is. You line that up one after another. What an unbelievable scam artist, and a scam artist actually putting people's health at risk, doing anything to make money.
Taking advantage of vulnerable people.
I know most of the numbers that were reported. I know, you know, somebody say Phil Mickelson got $200 million. I'm like, you take that money. Somebody said Dustin Johnson got $150 million, and Bryson and Brooks. I'm like, $150 million to play golf 15 times a year? I have no problem with those guys taking that money. And if they offer me something crazy, I'm going to take it too.
What's crazy?
Well, considering how much money I make now, it would take a really huge number for me to give up my life right now.
This is by far the toughest restriction against transgender athletes. Swimming's international governing board saying they consulted with scientists and policymakers and voted to essentially ban trans swimmers from elite competitions, including the Olympics, unless they medically transition before age 12.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome to Grace for Purpose Prayers. Now, before we pray, allow me to encourage you with the word of God. Mark 11 from verse 22 says, "Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Proverbs 3, verse 5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And finally, Psalm 90:17 says, let the favor of our Lord God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now I encourage you to lift your faith, open your heart, and put God at the beginning and at the center of your day.
Welcome in 347-850-1272. It is the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Of course, I'm J. Ryle, and I never, ever, ever share the stage by myself. Well, not often. Every blue moon, maybe once every, I don't know, 6 years. But today, no exception, the man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house. Good morning, my dear friend, my brother. How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday morning?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you, sir. And good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Kathleen Williams. Good morning, Momo B. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, my sister, Nessa. And good morning, Marianne Music, and morning, my brother Hawkins. Good morning, my brother Jerome.
There it is. The list is complete. 347-850-1272. On a beautiful Sunday. Hope you guys are enjoying the day. Hope you guys are getting a little bit of religion in this morning. As always, pray for us because we do need prayer. Vanessa's off this morning. And, of course, Jerome joins us after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio and Johnny D in the place to be. We'll be back in the house this fall. I am getting excited as the countdown begins officially today. Okay. Be back in the house. But you know how it is. What we always do at the beginning of the show, I call it a point of personal privilege where we kind of rapid clap and talk about things that will not make the main agenda for today's show, but things that are important nevertheless. And Mr. Elias, I was thinking about this the other day. Was reading an article where, and I've seen a lot of these, I guess let me preface it by saying I've seen a lot of articles about some of these young and up-and-coming rappers being shot and killed. And I read an article the other day that talked about this young rapper who was, you know, doing videos with guns and smoking weed and saying, hey, you know what, all my enemies, if you want some, come get some. I'll be here at this place at this time. And within 5 minutes, he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Someone took him up on the offer. So two things here. First of all, why do you think the young mind, and I've seen a lot of videos along, you know, that are based with young people, you know, showing that they hold guns and they got this and they got that. So why do you think, what's the infatuation with this? And then second, isn't this just an example of how dangerous social media can be? Because there are people that I know that are our age that, oh, I'm heading to the store right now, and guess what, I'm going to go buy. I mean, it's just like they track what they're doing, and people who are, you know, with ill intent, if they really want to get you, you're making it easier for them because you're putting this information out there. Hey, Lucilia is at, you know, Shrimp and Crab. I mean, okay, if I want to go kick her ass, ding, 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 I just need to go there and I can confront her. What say you in regards to these things, man?
Well, the first thing is, man, you know, people always glorify what you think, you know, is not good. Because I've been in places where there have been gunfights, and trust me, it's not a glorified thing where people are shooting at each other. You know, you have to hit the deck and get out the way. I've been in situations.
Whoa! You've been in situations where there was gunfire. You didn't tell. Tell.
When we were out at Gleason Park, man, you know, the road used to go up to Gleason Park, right up and down. People, we go out there and just park, and it was like a showplace where people had their cars just right up and down. Well, one of the guys out there didn't like another guy, and they saw each other, and they started shooting at each other. So, hey, dug down.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And my neighbor.
So it was similar to the scene in, remember the scene in, what is it, Boys in the Hood? Remember they was all out on Crenshaw?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly just like that. Exactly.
Wow.
And somebody started shooting. In my neighborhood, gangs used to come by and shoot at the people over there. So, I mean, where I grew up at. So, you know, people glorify that. But trust me, when that gunfire is hitting and you have to hit the deck, it's not a sexy thing at all. It's not. So, I mean, and if people sit on TV and think it's like that, nah, it's not. It's not. It's not at all. So that's how they feel. And, you know, as far as the social media thing, hey, man,
yeah.
If somebody wants to rob your house or do whatever they want to you, all they got to do is follow social media for those people. I don't even have Messenger on my phone. I get it on my tablet because my tablet stays at my house. I don't have Messenger on my phone because Messenger on your phone will tell you where you're at. So I got that off my phone. So people say,
really?
Hey, man, I messaged you. You didn't message me. I said, oh, okay, I wasn't at home. So I didn't see it. I don't, heck no. Now, my phone upsets me now because it's got the locator on it. And if I go somewhere, I have turned it off. I have, because it was like, hey, how was this store that you went to? Or how was this restaurant you just visited? I'm like, damn.
Oh, wow.
Really?
We're tracking you like that, huh?
Yeah, man. So all those people who post all those pictures, if I post any pictures, it's after I've gotten back home. I'm well at home. So, hey, you do what you want to. That's how that thing works for me. Mm-mm. No, at all.
Wow. That's crazy. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, during last week's show, I should say, but during the past week, we're hearing more and more rumblings within the Democratic Party that President Biden is too old to run for reelection. He's already the oldest serving president in American history as far as age-wise, but now people are really starting to, you know, people are really starting to make some noises within the Democratic Party that he's just too old. And because his poll numbers are in, you know, the high 30s, it's not helping his cause, man. What do you think, man? I mean, Vanessa mentioned it as well. Do you honestly think that if there was a candidate out there that really, I mean, let's say it's another President Obama, someone that has that type of stature, do you think you would be compelled to think about the possibility of voting for another Democratic candidate outside of the current president of the United States?
I would have to consider it, but I don't think so, because
really?
If you do that, if you do that, you destroy the party. You destroy the party, man, because, you know, you take away from this president, then the Republican Party, hell, they already can't win a free and fair election. So, you know, you'll destroy the party. You'll definitely do that. That's why you don't put that in place, man.
Is it safe to say you will destroy the party or you will divide the party? Or both?
You'll divide it and destroy it.
Well, okay, but, you know, think about what happened with Ted Kennedy and Bush. That didn't destroy the party. I mean, it created divisions.
And that was also a different era we were in, too. Let's call it.
I knew you were
going to
go there. Yeah, I knew you were going to go there.
It's a different era.
I knew it.
Come on, man. People cannot, you know, separate their feelings from what they're supposed to do. So let's call it what it is. It's a different era. People do stupid stuff constantly. And that's what they do. Yep. Hell, I was out yesterday driving and on Route 30 and Wisconsin Street. There's a guy who had a big old yellow bus out there with all these Trump things out there saying, "Do you miss me yet?" And I was like, wow, this dude is, you know, they don't pay attention. And people are always in their feelings, man. This guy tried to cause...
What does that mean? What does that mean, people are always in their feelings?
They are, because they want Trump. Do you miss me? I see that all the time on social media. Do you miss me yet? I was like, well, he tried to cause a coup. He tried to destroy the country, and you people still back him. You don't care. They don't care. What happened? People in the chat room, they hey, Trump this, Trump this, Trump, Trump, Trump. And look, man, this man tried to destroy the country. My ex-wife, she's the same way. Oh, he was a way better president. Yeah, but he's trying to take away your right to vote forever. He's trying to be the king,
hold up.
Not the
you
president.
You said your ex-wife. Hold up. You saying mm-hmm. your ex-wife is a Trump supporter?
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
oh,
why
didn't you tell me that when I... Oh, my God. Why didn't you tell me that when I was there?
I know I told you.
No, you did not.
I know there's a reason I divorced your ass. And you said, man, I was cold.
Ching,
ching. Something like that. Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. no, that's not, see, okay, we'll take this offline. I don't remember that, because had I known that,
yep.
there was no way
yeah.
she would have gotten a hug from me 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
No thank you. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy? Yep. Person
mm-hmm.
of our pigmentation supports that guy. But wait a minute, it goes back to what I said before, and this is what you say all the time. You know, you have to vote. It's pocketbook issues. You have to vote what's in the best interest for you. And if you are a rich black person,
yeah.
if you're a rich black person, then how can we get mad at you for voting for your interest? And you say this all the time.
She's not a rich black person.
Well, she's trying to be. Well, she's trying to be.
Okay. She's okay. You trying to be, and what you are is two different things.
Well, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Wow.
Well,
you but see, it's still wow, ching ching. All right, it's still hypocritical though for us to say one thing and say something else. But this is what I've always said. I've always said that sometimes you have to put, like they say all the time, party over country. You have to put what's happening with you personally, and you have to do what's in the best interest for the greater good. You know, President Obama used to always what? Go ahead.
So what you're saying is, you know, money is more important than your integrity?
That's
right
not what I'm saying.
Take away your right to vote.
That's not
right
what I'm saying. Are you just saying that in general, or are you directing that towards me?
No, I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, we're sitting here talking about voting your pocketbook, but hell, what about them trying to stop your
but you're
right
the
to
one
vote?
That says that.
You know? You know, hey, man, look, this right now, some things have to change. Because right now, they're trying to stop you from even voting. So, it's at that point now where your democracy is at stake. You know, and they know they can't win another, you know, come on, man, let's call it what it is. No, there's nowhere in the world. Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. It is time for us to go to break. 347-850-1272. It is time for an NPR News update. When we return, we'll be back. The heavy lifting is straight ahead. It is time to get into it. Welcome in. Sit back, grab a cup of Joe. We'll be right back after this update. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Hi, from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. At least 25 people, including four children, have died in the flooding in eastern Kentucky. That number, though, is expected to rise. Search and rescue crews are still looking for those listed as missing. Stu Johnson is with member station WEKU. He has more on the situation.
Waters have receded in many waterways, but mud stains on trees and structures tell the story of where flooding topped out. Close to 200 people are sheltering in school facilities in Wolf County. Dustin Moland is from South Jackson. He said every trailer in his community was underwater.
It just come in all sudden. I mean, within minutes. It was minutes. Within 20 minutes, it was underwater almost. Or within an hour, everything was.
More than 1,400 Kentuckians have been rescued by first responders from Kentucky, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Over 600 were rescued by air. For NPR News, I'm Stu Johnson in Lexington, Kentucky.
In Portland, Oregon, officials say they'll keep cooling shelters open through tonight. Excessive heat warnings and advisories remain in effect in the Pacific Northwest. The week-long heat wave is being blamed for leading to the deaths of at least seven people. President Biden is back in isolation. The White House says he has again tested positive for COVID-19. However, Biden's doctor says he is not showing any symptoms and feels well. A bill that would ban most abortions in Indiana is working its way through the state legislature. It passed the state Senate by a single vote this weekend. The measure bans abortions except in cases of rape or incest or when the life of the pregnant person is at risk. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
In 3 hours of debate, only one person spoke in favor of the bill, its author, Republican Senator Sue Glick. She called it an imperfect framework.
But this is an expression of where we believe the state of Indiana is right now.
10 Republicans voted against the measure, some because they say it goes too far in restricting abortion, others because they say it doesn't go far enough. Democrats like Senator Shelley Yoder call the bill cruel and invasive.
This law will bring terror and despair to thousands of women.
The bill now heads to the Indiana House. For NPR News, I'm Brandon Smith in Indianapolis.
In West Virginia, lawmakers adjourned a special session late Friday without completing work on legislation that would restrict abortion rights. Lawmakers expected to return to the state capitol sometime in the next few weeks. A top official in Russian annexed Crimea accusing Ukraine of carrying out a drone attack on the headquarters of Russia's Black Sea Fleet in the city of Sevastopol. Officials say six people were injured. The attack coincided with Russia's Navy Day. Also today, the mayor of the port city of Mykolaiv says shelling has killed one of Ukraine's richest men and his wife. You're listening to NPR News.
I know my body better now I do it.
It's easy now.
I used to lack confidence, but now I know exactly what to do.
My friends are surprised how regularly I do it.
I didn't realize men should do it.
I didn't know what to do, but now it's part of my routine.
Doing it saves my life.
I thought it would take longer, but a few minutes, that's all I need.
I encourage all my friends to start doing it early.
I used to be shy about it. But now I tell my friends how to do it.
It's easy. Now I know what to do.
My surprise because I did it.
I was scared the first time, but now I do it with a smile.
If you don't do it, you might not spot it. Join a Boob Watch by having regular checks.
Online radio at its best.
Less than 48 hours after a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, Georgia Republican Senate nominee Herschel Walker was asked on Fox News about the nation's gun violence problem and what he thinks should be done about it. Here's what he said.
Cain killed Abel, that's the problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women, that's looking at just social media? What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way? But yet they want to just continue to talk about taking away your constitutional rights. And I think there are more things we need to look into. This has been happening for years, and the way we stop it, by putting money into the mental health field, by putting money into other departments rather than departments that want to take away your rights.
Yes, really, that's what he said. I know.
Welcome back to 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. That was football great Herschel Walker. His response to a question pertaining to the Uvalde shootings. But the bigger picture here is this, that normally presidents or a party that's in power usually takes a shellacking during the first midterms of the first term of their presidency, right? With the exceptions of George W. Bush, and that was because of of 9/11, and then there was an exception with Bill Clinton because people felt that the Republicans were going too far in trying to impeach him, so the public kind of rallied behind those two presidents. But for the most part, and I think the stat says in the past 130-plus years, and I'll verify that, but usually the incumbent party usually takes a shellac, and everyone remembers what happened with President Obama in 2010. And with Biden's low poll numbers and the fact that inflation is so high, you know, earlier this year, or I should say even, earlier this year, people were saying, you know what, the Republicans can not only take the House but possibly take the Senate. But a wave of Republican candidates who are running in the midterms, all of a sudden the Republicans don't feel too good about their chances. You just heard from one right there, Herschel Walker, but you have Dr. Oz and Pennsylvania. So, Mr. Elias, we have a big election coming in 2 days, plus we're 100 days out from the midterms. Dude, give me your thoughts on this, because, you know, people were saying that not only will the Democrats will lose the House, but the Senate as well. But now, with these crazy A candidates that are out there, it looks like Democrats can and will hold on to the Senate. Now, the House is still in jeopardy, but give me your thoughts on how you think the midterms and some of these elections that are coming up, especially the big one that's coming up on Tuesday, how do you think this is going to play out moving forward?
Well, unless they, you know, the people can say what they want to, unless they change the voting rights laws that they've put in place and all the stuff, the gerrymandering that they have done and all the things that the Republican Party has put in place, the Democrats are going to lose.
Wait a minute, Mr. Elias. I mean, those things are already in place. That's not going to determine whether or not those predictions were in place. Well, no, those predictions were already in place with the current environment. But they're saying even, pollsters are saying even with all those headwinds that you just mentioned, that Democrats are looking good because of some of these flawed candidates. So you have to be really, 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 really bad if the predictions are you are still going to lose with all the advantages that the Republicans have tried to put in place. So yeah, I mean, I heard what you're saying. And under normal circumstances, if they ran decent candidates, look what happened in Virginia in the governor's race. So if you run pretty decent candidates, then yeah. Plus, with the advantages that the Republicans have put in place. But even with these advantages, these candidates are still flawed. And, you know, people are saying that the Republicans are taking defeat out of the eye of victory or whatever. I can't remember how they were saying, out of the mouth of victory or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is, with the advantages that they have, Mr. Elias, it looks like they are still going to lose, and they're not going to maintain or gain control in the Senate. But you think that that's not the case. You think that the Democrats will lose the Senate in these upcoming elections. Based on what?
Because of the
based on
the voting rights that the voting rights laws that these people have passed. Do you realize that they can take in Georgia right now? They can say, "Hey, Fulton County, which is all black, who stands out and comes out to vote? If we don't like the way they vote, man, we're not going to count Fulton County. We're not going to count them."
Wait a minute.
We're not going to vote
now,
for them.
Now the one thing that I did hear about Georgia is the fact that they're making it difficult. It's similar to what happened in Harris County in Houston when all of a sudden all the drop box locations, they had one centralized box that was located at the Toyota Center, and which made it difficult for people to drop their mail-in ballots or whatever, you know, drop their votes in this drop box. So I'm hearing that they're putting restrictions in place for that in Georgia, but this other stuff you're talking about I haven't heard of.
I've been watching the news, and man, when I watch the news, what they're saying is that if I don't like the way you voted, And I find, and I think there's irregularities. Hell, with Stacey Abrams, think about how many votes they threw out when she ran for governor.
Well, Kemp was but Kemp was the guy then. He was the elections. Well, yeah, true. I hear you. And you're right. They're starting to put some restrictions in place. But, you know, she's behind in that race. And, yeah, maybe that's an example of what you're referring to. But, you know, I'm talking about the Senate, though. So the Senate is a whole different ball of wax, man. And that's what I'm trying to get your thought process on.
Okay, the Senate. I'm telling you, they're passing laws. In Indiana, they're passing laws now that you can't mail-in vote, you can't do this, you can't do it. There's so many laws that have been passed that are stopping you from voting. It's unreal. And in some states, like in Wisconsin, they passed the same law to where that if I don't like that block of votes, I can throw them out. It's just it's insane to me.
You haven't heard that. I mean, the election. I heard that a lot of friends, people that were election deniers are running for office. As far as them having an effect in their election, I mean, I'm not saying that that's not true. I just haven't heard that. But if that's what you're saying, let's take a deeper dive here because, you know, I don't want to miss the point here. The deeper dive I want to take a look at is, you know, Herschel Walker. You know, we've had this conversation about Donald Trump. You know, he's an embarrassment, man. He is an embarrassment not only to himself, but he's an embarrassment to the race. And he's that guy. You know, they always try to find the token black person, right? Because you know, we always say that anytime one of us do something wrong, it reflects on the whole race. But then they find, you know, their Clarence Thomas, they find their Oreo, and then they parade him in front of people. And let me tell you, man, this guy is an embarrassment. And for him to even think, this is the problem with the democracy, Mr. Elias, right, in some cases. And there should be some qualifications before you can run for office. You should have to pass a damn test or something. If you are ignorant of, you know, state laws and the Constitution, if you don't know any of the statute when it comes to some of the regulatory, some of the regulations that we have out there, both federal and state and even local, you shouldn't even be allowed to run for office. Name a job where you can walk in just with no experience and take over can you go, if you try to become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, do you think they're going to hire some idiot that has no clue of what they're doing? No. But because Herschel Walker is popular, he won the Republican primary in a breeze. It's like, what are these people thinking about?
They don't care. They don't care.
Well, they do care. That's why they're voting. They do. There you go. They do. They care. That's why they're coming out in mass droves. That's why Democrats are nervous. They do care. They're going to participate in the process. But what I guess the part that gets me is, some of these people have doctrines and masters. I told the story about my former VP who was talking about Trump before Trump had really officially got in. It was when they had like 19,000, you know, people running for the GOP ticket for president in 2016. And he was saying, you know, that guy Trump, listen, I guess we are forgiven if we are made a fool of or people fool us. You know, that's the old saying, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. You know, so when you look at it from that perspective and through that lens, Mr. Elias, a lot of people voted for Trump that are smart people. Book smart. Well, they were book smart. Okay. I mean, they're smart people. Okay. And they fell for it because, once again, they looked at what – his persona, right? He was on television. You're fired. You know, people, rappers, you know, want to be like Trump. You know, he was the epitome. All right, let me say it this way. You know how people say, you know, he's the Michael Jordan of this, or he, now they're saying that he's the LeBron James of this, but don't get me started on that. But he is, anytime you say that name, it's associated with excellence, the very best. People say, oh, he's the Donald Trump of this. Before Donald Trump, you know, ran for president, everyone outside of the state of New York and the city of New York City thought that this guy had his stuff together. But then we find out that, no, his daddy gave him the money. He has been making bad business decisions. He has not paid contractors for all the work. But you didn't see that until he ran for public office. Mm-hmm. And it's the celebrity vibe, sir. It's like you look at Herschel Walker. He is a known name. And so there you go. You know, Tubblefield, he was it in Alabama? He was what? He was a coach. He was he was a great college football coach. Mm-hmm. But because you have name recognition, that means that you could just go run for office. And it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. 347-851-1272. So when the Democrats were talking about Oprah running for president, I'm like, oh, hell no. What are you talking about? Are you nuts? No. She's a talk show host. Let her stay in her lane. Stay in your lane, all these people who have these ambition, political ambitions. But Herschel Walker, sir, is a dummy, Mr. Elias. And every time he opens his mouth, he embarrasses our race. Go ahead, man.
He is a dummy. He is a dummy. And but hey, man, look how many people voted for him. People don't follow this stuff. They don't care.
Nobody's voted for him yet. Were you talking about in the primaries?
Yes, in the primary. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to get voted for in the primary to get in that position. So, you know, people voted for him. And look, and they're going to continue to vote for him. Why? Because they don't care. He's a name. And that's
he's losing, though.
About.
He's losing in the general election, sir.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
Whoa, wait a minute. But let's just put it out there. Let's just put it out there. So are you saying, do you think he's going to win? The you think he's going to be?
No.
So you think he's going to be Senator Warnock in Georgia? Herschel Walker is going to beat him?
Not in a fair election, he wouldn't beat him.
Okay, but see, that's a way out for you. What are you talking about? Not in a fair election?
No, I just told you how they. I just sat here and told you how they're taking away votes and they were stripping votes in Georgia. I just told you that. So we are talking about Georgia, right? Georgia, take your name, and if you don't sign your name the same way every single time, they'll take your votes away. They'll say, nope, he didn't vote. It wasn't him. And they'll throw out your election card. So in a free and fair election, no, he could never be Raphael Warnock. He could never do it. But in this kind of election where it's not free and fair, hey, man, I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it.
Wow. Okay.
Republican Party wins. They cheat to win. They don't run free elections. They don't win fair elections. They cheat to win. So if he does win, it's not going to be fair. It's not.
So since you're saying that, Herschel Walker would be the next senator from Georgia, do you think that Dr. Oz would be the next senator from the great state of Pennsylvania?
I haven't looked at Pennsylvania laws. I haven't. I haven't seen anything on Pennsylvania laws yet. But in Georgia, hey, dude, Kemp won is because he took 750,000 votes off the election, off the roll, because he said the signatures didn't match.
But see, that was always controversial because he was in charge of, I think he was an election board commission. I can't remember. I guess I can look it up during the break.
Mm-hmm.
But he was responsible for that. So, yeah, he had the advantage. There's no doubt about it. You know, I don't know, man. I just, sometimes I kind of laugh at some of this stuff.
Is in peril. Our democracy is in
well, that's, well, it's been in peril since 2016. I mean, that's come on, that's not a news flash. That's been happening for a very long time. Yeah, you know that. I mean, tell me something that I don't know. You know, please
that's for
stop
sure.
it. There you go. All right, folks, listen. In this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. You know, for the last 12 months or so, we talked about how, you know, owning a home was the American dream, right? I mean, you know, listen, house sales were high. People, if you owned a house, if you had a house on the market, you know, you would put that house on the market 2 weeks later. I mean, not even 2 weeks later, 2 days later, you'd be getting offers out the kazoo. Well, now that interest rates are up and the feds have raised the rates again, and with inflation, you know, owning a home or the American dream is starting to fade for some of those. So in this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know, we're going to take a closer look at that and see how the American dream, because they tell you apple pie, Chevrolet, owning a home is a part of being a red-blooded American. And it's something that most people try to do, owning your first home. So it's convenient time. In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. We'll be right back after this.
The Federal Reserve is once again moving aggressively to battle high inflation. Today, the central bank hiked interest rates by 0.75%. It is the fourth time the Fed has jacked up rates this year, a fast and furious pace the country has not seen since the late 1980s.
One place that's already seeing the impact of higher rates is the housing market. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is now around 5.5%, double what it was just a year ago.
Those higher rates, combined with already sky-high home prices, mean it's gotten a lot more expensive to buy a house. And it is pushing some would-be home buyers like Mackenzie Bathgate out of the market.
It puts a lot of pressure on you.
She and her husband John have been looking in Lansdale, Pennsylvania for 8 months now.
At this point, we've seen 28 homes in person, but ultimately made 7 different offers. Each one a little bit more aggressive than the last just because we got so tired of it. It's supposed to be exciting, and it's been the opposite.
Bathgate says they have waived inspections, bid tens of thousands of dollars above asking price, and still no luck. Meanwhile, they've been watching mortgage rates spiral higher and higher.
When it was at 3% and then jumped to 3.5% and then jumped to over 4%, that's when we started to feel all that stress of like, oh God, we need to make sure every weekend is focused on seeing these 3 specific houses that we're interested in, because we know that they're going to have an offer accepted by Monday.
Now with rates well over 5%, she says they've given up, for now at least.
Something's got to give, and when something gives or we can be more flexible and move, that's when we'll be able to actually take this seriously again.
Another home buyer who feels the clock ticking is Sienna Connor.
I refresh Zillow and other websites dozens of times a day because I know that even though it's very stressful, once something comes up, I need to be one of the first people in there to see the house.
She's currently renting an apartment in Iowa City with her husband Rex and 2 babies. They started thinking about buying a home in 2020, just before the pandemic, but the bank said they weren't ready.
We were told by mortgage lenders that our credit needs to be a little bit higher. It's taken us a few years to save up for a down payment and closing costs and whatnot.
Finally, this month they were pre-approved at an interest rate of 5%, but that rate does not lock until they have an offer accepted on a home. And with all the time that it took to save up and boost their credit, Connor says they may have missed their window.
A few years ago, we probably would be able to afford a decent 3-bedroom home for our family. But once the interest rate goes up, we will effectively be priced out of this entire area.
Now, we did hear from a few buyers, like Peter Hoyer in New York, who said rising rates have presented an opportunity.
I think they actually helped us personally because they diminished the competition a lot. So the last couple offers that we submitted, including the final one which was successful, only had a couple offers on the property as opposed to 10 or 20.
He and his wife, Kathy Yont, are currently in contract on a house in Rochester.
Even though rates have gone up, he said they were still able to qualify for a mortgage, and they're happy they got in when they did.
Knowing that we have a stable, we're going to have a stable living situation, and being able to paint the walls whatever color you want, and you know, have those sort of benefits without having to worry about the rent changing, kind of makes it a no-brainer decision for us.
So some home buyers are coming out ahead despite higher rates, but for those still looking, people like Sienna Connor and Mackenzie Bathgate, things are pretty bleak.
When you've worked really hard to get in a position to buy a house and then this interest rate issue comes up and we have absolutely no control over it whatsoever, we kind of just have to sit here and wait it out. It's something that I've been trying to process and grieve as well, but it's just overall very sad.
We just want a home. We just want to have a family and a yard and be able to have a beer on our deck at the end of the day, and it's disheartening, and I feel like the American dream isn't attainable anymore.
That was Mackenzie Bathgate in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, Sienna Connor from Iowa City, Iowa, and Peter Hoyer in Rochester, New York. Online radio at its best.
I just hear, I know most of the numbers, just when I report it. I know, you know, somebody say Phil Mickelson got $200 million. I'm like, you take that money. Somebody said Dustin Johnson got $150 million, and Bryson and Brooks. I'm like, $150 million to play golf 15 times a year? I have no problem with those guys taking that money. And if they offer me something crazy, I'm going to take it too.
What's crazy?
Well, considering how much money I make now, it would take a really huge number for me to give up my life right now.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It is 46 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J-Rod Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. And his best up was Charles Barkley. He was interviewing with Dan Patrick. He appeared on the Dan Patrick Show. And the big topic, or the big thing happening with Barkley right now, and it's really starting to cause some issues, is that the Liv golf tournament, which is sponsored by Saudi Arabia, has really attracted some of the biggest names in golf, and they are paying outrageous amounts of money for pro players to participate in that particular league. Now, the PGA has said, listen, if you're going to play, Mr. Ellis, what are you doing? Whatever it is, wow. So the PGA Tour says, if you are going to participate in this particular league, then you are banned from the PGA. And so now Charles Barkley, which most people know Charles now as an analyst on TNT. And when I tell you that this guy is a national treasure, he is one of the funniest people. He is a guy that he's the only reason why I watch NBA basketball, because I want to hear what he has to say at halftime and hear what they have to say, you know, in their post-game show. And everyone loves Charles Barkley. And Charles Barkley has been known to say whatever's on his mind, and I think that's why people like him. He's, you know, people like that realness of Charles, and I guess that's the reason why some people were, you know, attracted to Trump. But let me bring it back to Charles. So anyway, they have reached out to Charles. If you have seen, you know, Charles has done some golf commentary before, like, you know, for example, when Tom Brady and another play, you know, NFL players is playing around the golf, and his commentary is, when I tell you, it's priceless. It reminds me of when you heard Snoop Dogg during the Tyson Jones broadcast. I mean, it's just that unorthodox way of being a color commentator. The fact that you just say what's on your mind. So it kind of reminds you hanging with your boys somewhere watching a fight or watching a golf tournament or whatever. But anyway, they reached out to Charles Barkley. They want Charles Barkley to become a commentator on that live circuit. Now, everyone knows he's with TNT. He has, you hear him on the Subway commercials. So a lot of his U.S. sponsors are starting to get nervous, saying, hey, what are you going to do?
First of all, TNT is like, we don't want you to go, but this is concerning for us. And the reason why it's concerning, Mr. Elias, is because U.S. intelligence has proven that Saudi Arabia, even though they are an ally, it's like they're frenemies, right? Because we know that 18 of the 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi, and they had ties to the Saudi government. And we know what happened with the prince ordering the dismemberment of the Washington Post reporter. So now, if you're Charles Barkley, Mr. Elias, they're offering you like $60 million or $70 million to call 12 golf tournaments throughout the course of the year. Do you blame him for being tempted to even consider this offer, knowing that this is going to have some repercussions? This is really going to be something. I don't know if his popularity can survive this, because 9/11 families are livid about this. Matter of fact, they're going after Donald Trump right now because he's hosting one of their golf tournaments, but they shouldn't be surprised by that guy. That guy has no scruples. But I digress. Mr. Elias, if you're Charles Barkley, what do you do?
I walk away from it. Is the risk worth the reward is my thing. So, you know, can he withstand him losing? You know, there's a $60 million worth of him losing, you know, his job at TNT, his sponsorships with all the other places that he's doing.
Losing his job at TNT, he's already said he's going to retire in another couple of years. TNT, listen, TNT knows that if Charles Barkley walks away, that the chemistry he has with all those guys, and I'm pretty sure you've watched some of it, you know, him and Shaq.
I can't stand to hear him talk, to be honest. I really can't. I know you're a fan
really?
Of his.
Really? So you're not a fan? Wow.
Nope. I'm not a fan of his. He sounds ignorant as hell when I hear him talk. Let me tell you, Shaq. Let me tell you, he sounds ignorant to me, man. So no, I don't.
Oh, come on, see now, but see, that's a black on black crime, Mr. Elias. Yeah, it is. It's a black on black crime. I mean, the bottom line is that people can say that we sound ignorant. I mean, that, you know, it's listen. It's not like he's doing.
And they have every right to tune us out too.
Man, you're just good God, dude. Really?
Yeah,
wow.
That's how I feel. You can't stop me from feeling the way I feel. It's like I can't stop
Okay,
me from
all right,
feeling
Laura Ingram. You're right. I can't. You're right, Laura Ingram. You're right. Just shut up and dribble a basketball, right?
No, not shut up and dribble a basketball. I just cannot stand the way he talks. And he's one that's always talking trash to people who's winning championships, and he's yet to win one.
Oh, so now you sound like Shaq. Oh, stop.
Hey, I sound like Shaq because Shaq's got championships. How many rings
does
Shaq have?
Oh, man.
You the bar.
What does that have to do with anything?
That's like a person that filed that's bankrupt telling me how to handle my finances.
Oh, see you. Stop. Okay, see you. You stop. Jesus Christ, Mr. Elias. He's a commentator. It's like Michael Jordan don't speak to him because if you're paid to be a commentator, you're paid to be a commentator. That means if you're not playing your game up to your level, he has to call you out on that. You just can't. And people get all
like when they call him out about not winning championships, then that's wrong.
But you know what, Mr. Elias? You're right. You don't watch him because he is the first to say, you're right. You shouldn't call me championship Chuck. I didn't win no championship. I can't. Who am I to sit here and say anything about that? He laughs about that stuff. So he don't take that personal. He knows he's not an NBA champion.
So
he knows that.
Comment on stuff like that, man, to win a championship.
Comment on
what? Does it take to win a championship? What does it take to win a championship?
He's a sports commentator.
Okay.
Oh my God! Okay. You see that? That don't even sound right. I mean, because if someone Mr. Elias, no, it's not. If someone invites you to be on the show,
take a lot of advice from Steve Harvey, who's been divorced 9 million times, and people still take advice from him. That's like me taking financial advice from Donald Trump, who's been bankrupt 9 million times.
It's not financial advice. He's not giving advice. What he's doing is, Mr. Elias, he's not giving advice. What he is doing is he is a sports – he's an analyst. So what you do is you go – he is a top 50 player. He is a Hall of Fame player. So then he is a resource – So when you have an NBA show, who better you bring? It's like bringing you in to an NBA show and asking you for your analysis. That's the comparables. If you want to try to compare it to something, you don't have any experience playing in the league. You play ball in school.
He don't have any experience that's like, winning championships. But he comments
what
on winning championships.
Get, oh my,
what they should
oh
do
my,
to win a championship.
This dude just hurt my head today. Jesus Christ. Wow, mm-hmm. You're hurting
I'm
you.
Glad
I got a headache dealing with you.
I'm
well,
glad.
Oh my,
I'm glad. I'm so glad you got a headache.
Stick to the topic. All right, let's talk about this situation with Charles Barkley. So you're saying that you would walk away from $60 million or $100 million. If they offer him $100 million, mm-hmm. he should walk away from that?
Like you said before, with the women that took the money. Sometimes you got to have
what women that took what money?
With Bill Cosby. They took the money. What's the difference?
What?
What's the difference?
Oh.
We knew that Saudi Arabia attacked America. We knew that. We know it's what happened. So now they said, here, take this money and come work for us.
Okay, so I guess what you're trying to say is there's a moral standard here that he should adhere
yes.
to. Is that where we're going?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes, he's
already I'm like,
rich.
What the
he's
hell does this have to do with Bill Cosby? Huh?
Because you said the women that took the money shouldn't be upset with Bill Cosby because they took the money.
That's not what I said. That's
okay,
not what I said.
You said they took the money and they shouldn't come back after him. That's what you said, Frank.
That's what I said. I didn't say you shouldn't be upset with him. I said that basically, for those of you all who may be first-time listeners, you know, we did a segment on Cosby, and we talked about that whole situation that happened with Bill Cosby. And so we all know what happened was the last young lady who testified and really led to his conviction, which has been overturned since then, but basically at that point, she had settled out of court. And my thing mm-hmm. was, if you're standing in front of a camera saying that my moral compass was shook, I couldn't live with myself, I couldn't sleep with myself, you did when you took that money. So then you should have thought about that. And I said, there's not a dollar amount in the world that would make me abandon something if it shook me to my core.
And
that's
9/11
what I said.
Didn't shake you to your 9/11 didn't shake us to our core.
That's not okay, well, dude. What I'm saying is, you know, you act like I'm on his team. I'm not on his team. What I'm saying is, I was shook to my core. But you know, Charles Barkley is looking at this from a completely different standpoint. And I think, and let me be honest with you, and I don't know the man, obviously, but I think that he didn't even take into consideration. You know, sometimes we make decisions or we say things without really doing our homework, and I think that he didn't realize, it didn't dawn on him, I guess, the connection with 9/11 and Saudi. And he was looking at it from a completely different standpoint. Because he's saying, like, mm-hmm. for example, people talk about blood money. They say, well, if you buy diamonds, especially if they come from that region of the world, that's blood money. He's saying that, you know, if you support – so his points are, look, you talk about this and talk about that. This is the same U.S. government who, you know, performed, you know, gave black men herpes. So, you know, he says everybody want to stand on their, you know, soapbox and want to spew righteousness. You know, this is a government that won't even – that they're having issues with, you know, charging a guy who led an insurrection that it's even up for debate. So Charles Barkley is saying, on one hand, y'all want to talk this mess to me, but look at all this other crap that's going on. So he, without fault, throw the first stone. If you live in a glass house, they'll be throwing rocks. So I get where he's going, and I think, like I said, I just think that basically he didn't think it all the way through. And so now, he obviously, if you've already stepped out there, one of the things my drill sergeant told me a long time ago, Mr. Elias, if you're going to be wrong, be loud and wrong. Don't be wrong. Just straight up be wrong. Just embrace it. Don't you know, because when you are meek and when you are timid, that causes issues. Just be wrong. It's easier to correct if you're all the way wrong versus halfway wrong. So My question to you is, do you think that if he accepts this money, well, let me ask you this, because now, obviously, you're not following this, but now he's saying, he keeps pushing the number, right? First, I think it was 50, then it went to 60, now he's at 70. And so I think what he's trying to do, he's trying to disqualify himself. He's trying to correct the record or right the ship, because now he's hearing from people. His sponsors are talking to him, you know. And so his dilemma is, I'm Charles Barkley. I don't let pressure back, you know, I don't fold to pressure. I say what I mean what I say. So now I got to find an out, because I didn't realize that, you know, I didn't connect the dots with, you know, 9/11 and you know, the reporter that was dismembered. And I think that's what he's trying to do, Mr. Elias, me personally.
No, why not just say no? Be a man about it.
Because it's $60 million.
Just say no. Just say no and say, my integrity means more to me than that. And you look, and people will love you that much more. My integrity means more to me than that, and I decline gracefully instead of trying to find a way out. It's simple.
Well,
to say I don't want to do it. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, in my heart of hearts, I can't do it.
Well, like I said, his whole thing is that how can you sit here and point fingers at me, you know, when you guys are, you know, real deal. She corrected me. Thank you so much. It was syphilis, not herpes. My bad. Yeah, she's right about that. I misspoke. But yeah, so now you're in a place where you're saying you have to find a way to graciously bow out. And, you know, but that's all about persona. It's like Trump. Trump's not going to admit that he lost the election, even though he knows he lost it. But that goes against everything that Trump is. That goes against everything that people loved about Trump. He speaks his mind. He, you know, all his locker room talk. You know, that is a part of his persona. That's a part of his aura. People, that's what makes people love him, because he says what he means and he means what he says. So Charles Barkley is in the same situation. Now let's turn it to these golfers. Once again, and I think I know where you're going with this, these golfers are saying, look, man, dude, I'm a professional golfer. I don't have anything to do with that. They are technically the, hey, shut up and dribble type athlete. Look, we ain't trying to get into all that. We just want to make our money. We play professional golf for a living. And so here's a place or a league that's going to give us some insane money, right, to be a part of it. So why not? So then why not accept the cash? This is what we do for a living. Why should we be?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, hey, you can accept that money, but then again, you know, you're off the PGA. You're not on that you're kicked out. You're done. So you might as well stick with this for the rest of your life. Is the risk worth the reward? I said that from the very beginning. Is the risk worth the reward? So if they're going to pay you large amounts of money and they're going to give you all this money, and then you can't play for the PGA anymore, you can't play Augusta, you can't play none of these courses anymore because you decide to play for these people, is the risk worth the reward? The insane money that you're getting is what you're going to have to live off for the rest of your life. And you're going to have to stick with this league for the rest of your life. It's a risk worth the reward. And,
let me ask you something, man. And I've always thought about this because I hear that, and especially after I hear that one person in Illinois hit that big old lottery. Is there such a thing as too much money, man, in your opinion?
There is. Yes, there is. Because then you become greedy. It's greed. It's nothing but greed. That's why we're in the position we're in today.
But wait a minute. But hold on, man. Is it greed or are you, you know, because we've had these conversations on this show too. Let me finish. You know, we talk about generational wealth, right? We've had these conversations. You and I have butted heads over that comment, over that statement, generational wealth. Is it a situation where really is it more about greed, Ms. Elias, or is it more about, you know, the status of my family 50, 60, 100 years from now when I'm gone. You know, look at, you know, we talked about this before. Look at what's happening with the Ford, you know, Ford Motor Company, you know, Walmart. All, the, you know, if they took that concept of make, you know, there's such a thing as too much money, then they won't be, you know, they wouldn't be the powerhouses that they are today, right? I mean, so you say there's such thing as making too much money, but is that really a fair statement? And once again, could it be a situation where it's generational wealth more than anything else? Because they know they can't spend it all. There's no way.
It causes price gouging. Look, everybody can talk crap about the price gouging. Look at the gas prices. Everybody talks about this trash about gas prices, this, gas prices, that.
What?
These people are making record profits. Record profits. Record. $9-10 billion. Let me finish. They're making record profits. You know why they're making record profits? Because they're price gouging. People are price gouging. Jeff Bezos could take care of his family for 50 generations. 50 generations.
Okay. He just gave, $200 million to them. He's giving money away, too. He just gave away $280-some dollars to the Obama Foundation.
That's chump change to him.
Okay.
When he worth $180 billion.
But Mr. Elias, he's saving lives. Man, we'll finish this. Look, we got to go. 347-850-1272. We'll finish this conversation on the other side because I'm not understanding where you're going with that. To say that there's such thing as making too much money, I don't get that.
It is. It causes greed. It's nothing but greed. That's all that is. Because I ain't got enough money. I don't have enough money, so I need to charge these people way more than what I got. So what?
Man.
What?
Okay. All right. Where's the humanity at?
Come on, stop.
All right. We're going to take a break. 347-850-1272. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. You're listening to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show. Don't go anywhere. It's time for Marietta Music's Corner Part 1. On a beautiful Sunday. Hope it's a beautiful day, and hope everything's working well for you on this beautiful Sunday. We'll be right back after this.
Online radio at its best.
I know you usually don't hear me talk like this, but I got a little game that I want to play. Are you ready?
When I think about you, I think about giving myself to you. Cause you know I want you, babe. And I would do anything. I know you're thinking the same thing, babe.
Come and get it,
yeah.
I'm so excited.
I can't hide my feelings, get it. I want them till we start over and finish. Tonight it's all about my baby. I'm meaning for you, get me high. I can't stop you, feel me right.
The door,
that old floor.
Put on a little show to let your baby know. But then I
should be screaming uncontrollably. Hope you're ready to stay up one time. Cause nothing's too much, baby. Just what I want, baby.
NAACP is committed to equality for all people, especially the equality of foundational Black Americans. Every other child gets a chance at economic equality. Every other child gets a chance of living the best life they possibly can. Doesn't he deserve a chance too? Learn more at NAACP.org.
Online radio at its best.
A bombshell ruling in the world of international sports. As of this morning, the swimming world's governing body, FINA, effectively banning transgender athletes from competing in women's events. The organization voting that it will only allow women who have transitioned by age 12 to compete in international races like the Olympics.
Leah Thomas pulling away.
Leaving out athletes like one of the sport's rising stars, 23-year-old Leah Thomas. The swimmer became the first known transgender athlete to win a Division I national title. Thomas, who began her transition as a sophomore at UPenn, speaking out recently for the first time on GMA.
There are some who look at the...
Welcome back in, 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. It's 12 minutes after the hour. Glad you guys are here. Now, I tell you what we're going to do. We are going to finish the conversation that Mr. Elias and I had on the other side. We'll talk about that after or during our next segment. But I want to talk about this because I forgot this was actually on the agenda. You know, we heard about this whole thing. We first talked about this a few months ago. Maybe it was last year when Leah Thomas won the NCAA swimming competition. And so now the competitor that actually finished in second place went on Fox News and complained, saying, look, this is an unfair advantage for this young lady, this person, to have had the ability to compete with other women. And you know, I remember what we talked about here on the show, and I remember who was for and against it, but I'm not going to put that out there now because, you know, I want those people to be able to, you know, speak their own mind on it since they're not here. But now it looks like there's a ban, international ban, on transgender athletes participating in swimming events. Mr. Elias, do you think this is fair, yay or nay?
Well, you know, I think it's fair because they said if you haven't transitioned by the age of 12, that you're not able to compete, which is I think is fair. I do honestly believe that is fair because let's just be honest. Even if you take all the shots and all the other stuff, you still have think about this last person that won the college collegiate championship. They were like out of 500, they were like 490 something.
Check this out. They named her. I think they named her. NCAA Female Athlete of the Year. Go ahead.
Okay, but she, and when that person did compete as a man, they were like 490 some out of 500 some swimmers. And then as when you got to be, you know, when you went to you did the change to a woman,
you became the number one swimmer. So it is an unfair advantage to the women. So if you transition by the age of 12, they're not saying transgenders can't compete. What they're saying, if you haven't transitioned by the age of 12, then you can't compete. I think this
well,
is
well,
perfect.
Well, they are saying they can't compete. But they are saying they can't compete.
I could have sworn they said if you hadn't transitioned by the age of 12, you cannot compete. That's
okay.
What I thought
so that,
they said.
Well, that's what it did say, but they're still saying that you're a transgender person if you don't make – but you're still saying transgender people can't compete unless they meet certain stipulations. I guess you can go back and
right.
say, well, that's for anything, but I
right. –
Why is this such a touchy topic? Why do get
because
I remember that show and people you know very rarely do I read stuff like you know and I shouldn't say this is just not being a good radio host but I'll you know full disclosure half the time during the week I don't read any of those messages that week because sometimes you know there are times where we get a lot and then there's time where you know hey. We get some. I just don't really read them. I mean, but unless I know something controversial we're going to talk about, then I make it a point maybe on Wednesday or so to go and look. And but a lot of people were like, if I had to put, I think more people were a little surprised by our take on it. And, you know, and so why is this such a touchy topic? This is kind of black and white, right? I mean, you're calling, you know, Caitlyn Jenner she when he still got all his dude stuff. So he's a guy, I mean, with a wig and female
that's
clothes.
That's how he wants to be identified as a she, man. You know,
but
that's
you're
how
not a she.
Caitlyn Jenner wants to be identified as a she.
See, I'm going to get in trouble. I already know it. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't know, man.
The thing is, it's very wild, not the show.
Well, but listen, man, it's like we talk about Trump. This guy broke the law. It's pretty simple. He still accepted business deals while he was president. I mean, this is against
mm-hmm.
the law. So when we
mm-hmm.
talk about a transgender athlete, you're competing against women. I mean, our bodies are different. Men are stronger than women normally. I mean,
yeah.
I just don't understand why this is such a sensitive topic and why do people get in trouble for speaking the truth? The truth is transgender females shouldn't be allowed to race with females. Now, if you want to have a whole transgender you know, Olympics, then go for it. See how that sounded? That sounded wrong, man. I guarantee you that somebody is going to say something crazy to me. I guarantee it. It's coming. I can feel
well,
it. Usually I start pulling, I'm going to, you know, during the next break, I'm going to start pulling comments down. And I get, man, dude, I'm telling you. But, it's like I'm wrong. Caitlyn Jenner, here's the twist, Mr. Elias. Even Caitlyn Jenner, a.k.a. Bruce Jenner, says that, you know, transgender females shouldn't compete with other transgender females. Even she said that.
Huh?
Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner is opposed. Well,
you said
no. I mean,
you said transgender women shouldn't compete against transgender women.
No. I'm saying that Caitlyn Jenner even said that transgender women shouldn't compete with you know regular biological females or whatever the scientific term is we want to use there.
Yeah, you know,
even
if they haven't transitioned by the age of 12, like I said before, I think that's a fair ruling. Because at 12, at 13, that's when, you know, you start to do some type of physical change as a man. So if you haven't transitioned by the age of 12.
At 13.
Yeah, I agree.
It's before that. It's before
13.
That. 13, you're a freshman. I mean, you're a freshman in high school. What are you talking about?
You know, things start changing at 13, man. You start getting hair and all this other stuff, man. At 12, I wasn't getting beards and stuff.
You know. Man, you know, sometimes there are moments where I wish we could zap this show into like the Saturday show. Oh my God, that was a layup for me. And, you know, obviously, but it's, you know, it's a different show, so I got to let that one pass, but my goodness. Okay, so so where do we go from here? They've been banned. I'm assuming that there are going to be plenty of lawsuits against this decision. I don't know, but then again, I'm trying to be objective. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm trying to look at her through the lens of a transgender athlete. Where do you go? I mean, there's no place to go with this. You can't argue it on the merits. And the reason why they say before the age of 12 is because, they've conferred with scientists and, you know, so they've done a lot of research into this. And so they're saying before the age of 12, then yeah, you know, if you haven't begun that transition by then guess what? You know, forget it. Now, for the record, I think Leah Thomas began his transition while she was in college.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that was unfair to, you know, the people that was competing, man. It was truly unfair. You know, I'll say that again and again. I'm sorry if it offends somebody, but hey, man, that was unfair for her to compete in that competition. That was truly unfair for Leah Thomas to compete in that competition. It was truly unfair for the females that have been training their entire lives to deal with that.
I agree. And so people, if you know, people have said this, so be it. I don't know, man. You know, it's funny. It's not, I shouldn't say funny, but you know, the one thing that I remember, I went to church. And I was sitting there listening to, listening to the word being preached, and you know, and how my bishop, when he started talking about homosexuality, how he just—it was almost like he was upset. And I remember when President Obama finally agreed on same-sex marriage. I remember I was watching this program, and there was a bunch of African American preachers that were like, "Oh no, we can't support this." And it's against the word of God. So it's like, I don't know, you have the worldly view of things and then you have the spiritual view of things. And I guess it's just one of those things that, who knows what happens once we close our eyes for the last time. Whether you believe in heaven or hell, who knows? I know what I believe in. Some people don't. But no one knows. No one that's living right now can tell you what's going to happen when you close your eyes for the last time. No one.
Mm-mm.
They can speculate. You can read. But it's like we talked about earlier with championship experience, you know, or NBA experience. You can give me your opinions on things. But if you've never experienced it, then what you going to tell me? You don't know what's going to happen in the afterlife. You know, then you have these people who said I died for 2 seconds and this is what I saw, and people take them at their word, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes things, in my opinion, are black and white, sir. And you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's black and white, period. It's just the way it is. And it's going to offend some people, but, you know, good God. I mean, you know, if you haven't, you were born a man and you still have all your man parts. You know, by definition, you're still a dude. So I guess it is what it is. Any final thoughts on this one before we move on to Stelias?
Well, like I said, I'll stick to my guns on this no matter, you know, what the consequences are or what people are going to say. I think if you were born a man and you haven't transitioned by the age of 12, you shouldn't be able to compete against the women. If you want to transition to become a woman, that's your right to do whatever you want to do. It's not my right to say anything about that. But if you're a female, you're a male that became a female, you shouldn't be allowed to compete against these women.
Well, there it is. The man has spoken. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Serious Side.
Online radio at its best. somebody tell me the answers. Me and you isn't the answer. Me and you isn't. Maybe I'm telling myself that, but there ain't nothing that'll change that. What good would it be if I knew how you felt about me? Yeah. It could've been right, but I was wrong. Only think about you when you're alone. Part of me that cares is and I know that I can't get caught up. We could've been, and we try to pretend. Every now and again, we don't dream about, don't think about what we could've been. So I'm holding it in, cause I know in the end, you dream about, I think about what we could've been. We could've been. We could've. Remember, remember the night in Miami. First time you put your arms around me. I'm up reminiscing. Thinking about you isn't helping. Thinking about you doesn't tell me. What good it would do if I decide to face the truth. It could have been right, but I was wrong. I only think about you when you're hit me up when she's not home, and that's why I can't get caught up. We could've been, and we try to pretend. Every now and again, we don't dream about, don't think about what we could've been. Oh, yeah. I'm holding it in, cause I know in the end, you dream about, I think about what we could've been. We could've been, we could, we could've been.
Gotta hide it, what's the point of trying? I ain't just a friend, no, what's the point of lying? Trying to sell a story, ain't nobody buying. Look me in my eyes, don't that feel nice? Why should it end? Baby, I could've been, I could've been him or your friend. Trust it, where to win, where to make a trip. Baby, make a wish, be the one I wish. Should've been a, should've, could've, would have been. Hey. Yeah, I would have been.
Is our caller number. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'm J. Ryle. I tell you what, I need to get a warning, man. I usually get a warning. I got a mouthful of food. My man, Mr. Elias, is in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you? Damn.
Yeah. I can tell. I was like, this chump is eating on the air. Wow. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Wow.
Mr. Elias, good morning to you. Mr. Jerome Esprit is off this morning. Vanessa Maybell is off this morning as well. Mr. Elias, can we say hello to some people in the chat while I try to knock down the rest of these gummy worms?
Okay, all that's in there is Avena, man. Back to you, Ken.
Hello, Avena, man. How you doing?
Wow.
Good morning, Camila, man.
Yeah.
How you doing, my brother?
Good morning. Yeah.
Let me say hello to some people.
Yes.
What's up, Pastor? How you doing? I want to say what's up to Dana. How are you, Crystal? I didn't pull all the stuff down either. Ruben. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. That was a short break. I wanted to spend some time, trying to get some nourishment between takes. All right, the number is 347-850-1272. Please forgive me. My mother did not raise a rude son, so I do have manners.
Mm-hmm.
But you caught me slipping. But I apologize.
Okay.
I'll try to finish the rest of this food as inconspicuous as possible, and we'll try to move on.
Let me do my thing. Good morning, Jay, and good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Momo B. Good morning, Kathleen Williams. Good morning, little sister. Good morning, Marianne Muse. And Marianne Muse, that first song was by Tamia, and it's called Can't Get Enough. And, of course, you know the last song was by her, and it says Could Have Been. And good morning, my brother Hawk, and good morning, my brother Jerome. There you go. You
why did you do that? Yeah, well, you should have did that earlier. I mean, good grace.
I wanted you to get caught in.
I want to say good morning to the real Delia. She is in the house. She is actually in H-Town. Hopefully we will get together before she gets out of here. I want to definitely meet her. That's going to be a fun encounter. Get a chance to meet some of the people that have been supporting us for years. It's always a fun thing. Now, before the last segment, yeah, she's in Houston. So I can't wait to meet her. Send me a picture of her grandkid. I mean, you know, just we go a long way back. It's funny how this radio show, some of the people that I actually consider friends, we were met through this forum. I mean, people who have been supportive of this show, I can't tell you the number of people. I've met folks that, you know, we don't know that they're not household names for us with, you know, with the J. Ryle show and all those guys. I've met some of those people. It's just fun meeting people that actually, you know, support your show. It's a good thing. And so I can't wait to meet her. So it should be fun. All right. Before the last segment, Mr. Elias and I were having a conversation about generational wealth. And you said some things that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I wanted to take a few minutes here and talk about them. Because, you know, we talk about generational wealth all the time. And so when you say, and the question that I asked him, just in case you're just tuning in, shame on you if you're coming late, but that's okay. Is there such a thing as making too much money? And Mr. Elias' response was?
Yes. Greed is killing this country right now. Greed is definitely killing this country. Let's call it what it is. You say that is there too much money? Yeah, there's such thing as too much money. Greed is killing this country, and that's greed. If you're making the money and you're paying your workers a fair share and you're still getting rich, I'm good with that, man. But if you're paying your workers nickels and dimes and you're getting richer and richer and you're finding stuff to spend your money on that frivolous crap, then, hey, man.
Like
yeah,
what?
There's
what?
Thing.
Okay, you said that for a reason. What's frivolous? What's frivolous crap in your opinion, Mr. Elias?
Okay.
I already know where you're going, but go ahead.
Okay, where am
go
I
ahead.
Going? Please tell me. Okay,
no, go,
okay.
No, you go ahead. I want to see if I'm right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're going into space for
hey,
20
Spidari, I knew it. Space, I knew it. I knew you were going there. And so now they've already said, NASA already says this is good. This helps them when it comes to figuring out all those different things. All the technology, all the research that they can get from this is wonderful. Now, you're talking crazy because
is it fair share that they don't pay their fair share in taxes? That I pay more in taxes than
this
they
guy
do?
Just – oh, look, man.
This guy just what?
It's like, okay, let
what?
Me tell you something. Okay, let me tell you, okay, here we
taxes?
Go.
Or does he find loopholes not to pay his taxes? Like
well,
all the rich,
I don't know about all that. I'm not his accountant. But I will say this. Okay, but I will say this.
Okay.
Fine, Mr. Ellis. I will say this, right? The one thing I've learned a long time ago, in order for you to treat people fairly, you have to treat them unfairly.
Let me say it again. In order for you to treat people fairly, you have to treat people unfairly. No, I'm not. That's something that they teach you in business. Let me tell you what. Let me give you the example. If you run a company and you have a guy or gal that's bringing in $3 to $4 million worth of sales a year or even every other quarter to your business, when it's time to give bonuses, that person is going to get a bigger bonus than the person that works in your mailroom. Now, the person in the mailroom can say, well, wait a minute, employee bonuses, they should all be the same. No, they're not. So in order for you to treat people fairly, you have to treat them unfairly. So, yeah, I'll give you another example. Jimmy Johnson, famous former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said this once. Reporter asked him about a situation where this guy was a third-round draft pick. He fell asleep in one of Jimmy Johnson's meetings, and Jimmy Johnson cut him right then and there. People were like, oh, my God. Whoa, what was this all about? Then another reporter said, well, Jimmy Johnson, look, nobody falls asleep in my meetings. If you fall asleep in my meetings, you will pay the ultimate consequence. Then the reporter said, well, what happened if it was Troy Aikman? He said, I'll tell somebody to wake him up. So, you know, in society as a whole, in order for you, so think about the bigger good. So if Walmart comes to you and say, look, this town, you know, income medium is here, you don't have any jobs, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come into this community. I'm going to pump in X amount of million dollars in this community, right? The only thing we ask that you do is that you let us get in here tax-free. So if you are the mayor of that town or if you are the governor of whatever, so are you going to say, well, dang, we can collect, you know, $3 million worth, and I'm using small numbers. I'm pretty sure it's bigger. We can collect $3 million worth of taxes on these cats, but they can pump in like $30 million into the economy. There's a net gain of $20 million. What do you do? Do you say, oh, well, we're not going to do it. Oh, well. No, no one's going to do that. No one.
Well, in essence, there's an insurance firm in Seattle. This guy said he was making $10 to $12 million a year, and his people could not afford places to live. Right?
Okay.
So what did he do? You know what this cat did?
He said,
"Hey, I'm going to make the same amount as my people, and I'm going to disperse that money amongst my people." So they all can afford a place to live. Now, what happened during the pandemic? You know what happened during the pandemic? The place was going under. You know what these people did? That he was paying all his money to? They said, I'll be damned if this place go under. We'll give some of our salary back and we'll make the sacrifice to keep this place up and going.
Can you just prove my point?
What?
You what just proved my point.
He was not,
let me tell
his
you,
greed did you, not take over, and he said, let me give back to my people. Let me give back.
But guess
back.
What? You just proved my point. Let me tell you why. I'm going to tell you. Because, Mr. Elias, if he wasn't financially stable, there was no way he could even make that sacrifice in the first place. So my point is, people can make money.
That's making your point. That's against your point.
No, it's not.
To survive. He had enough money to say, okay, I'm financially stable. Let me give back to my people. You're saying it's too much work. Is there too much money?
That's not what I'm saying. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. That's bullcrap. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. Let me say what I'm saying. Mr. Ellis, what I'm saying is that you're saying that there's too much. Listen, you said there's such a thing as making too much money because there's greed. There are people that are greedy. There's no doubt about it, but there are people who are making this money, and they're turning around and putting this money back into communities. They're making these huge. You talk about Jeff Bezos, you know, I read two things where he just gave away $500 million. Oh, that's just a drop in the bucket. Okay. But that $500 million can change, it changes lives. When he went to space, one of the things he announced when he got back on Earth was the money that he gave to, what's that guy's name, Vance Johnson, the guy who worked for President Obama? He gave him money for his, what is it called, man? The name is slipping my his foundation, and to help young black kids who don't have a chance. So he's putting this money back into the community. So if you're making a gazillion dollars and if you're going to put money back in the community, what's wrong with that? So now you're doing two things. You're bringing up the generation behind you, and then you're ensuring that your family will have generational wealth for way past you.
How about paying your people a fair wage? How about that?
No, you are just
nickels and dimes. I'm making billions of dollars. I'm going to give nickels and dimes here and there. People,
I just said there are people that do that.
I
just said that there are folks out there that are doing things the wrong way. But to say that there's, you know, to say, well, I'm going to put a cap on it, that's like a business, right? You have a target, you know, you have a target point as far as how much money you're going to make. Well, you know, our earnings, we want to make $2 million. Oh, we made $2 million. Guess what? We're not going to take any more profits. Don't even sound
not
right.
Saying that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying,
you're saying,
is,
what are you
take
saying
care
then?
Of your people. Take care of your workers.
You're changing the topic.
Wage. Huh?
You're changing. You
How
said
am I
that
changing?
The whole purpose.
You're saying
you
that
said
too much money. Yes, there is. It causes greed. How is that changing the topic? He's greedy
okay,
as
man.
Hell.
Go ahead.
He's not paying
okay.
his people a fair share. He's not paying his people a
Who's
fair
greedy
wage.
As hell? Who's greedy as hell?
Bezos.
Who?
And Musk. All these people are not paying their people a fair wage. That's why they're trying to keep the unions out of their shop right now, because they know damn well if they got a union there, they'd have to pay fair wages. They don't
want to pay fair wages. So you and I both know that we know a few people who have opened up these Amazon businesses. There are some people who are doing very well in life now because of the opportunity that Amazon has given them to come on board. But you know, we turn a blind eye to that, right? That so what, right? They're not really – he's not really serving his purpose. Now, you have a lot of young black African-American entrepreneurs out there.
Because it's cheaper to do it that way. It's cheaper to do it that way.
Okay, so what? You know, you can't win with you. Well, the only reason he did it because it was in the best interest for him. Okay, well, don't we all act in our best interest, Mr. Elias? Well, then, so why are you fault somebody for doing the exact same thing you would do?
Pay your people a fair. If it was me, I'd pay my people a fair wage. I own the business, and I pay my people well above minimum wage. I did.
Yeah, but you only had X amount of employees.
Okay, if I
now, it was a small,
more,
it was
I would pay a fair share to my people because they take care of you. If you pay your people well, they take care of you in return. It's simple. You don't have people that are disgruntled. They don't know how to disgruntle people. It's simple, man. You're paying nickels and dimes. Now you know why everything is so high because they raised the minimum wage. We'll show you people. If we had to raise minimum wage, everything is going to go sky high. But, hey, you know, there's no such thing as too much money. You're right. What was I thinking?
I don't, you know. To me, the premise of what you're saying doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you know, there's such thing as making too much money. You know, if you want to be – if you're saying that it's, you know, it's not good being greedy, that's one thing. But to sit here and say that, you know, I mean – you're wrong for making
too much money.
That's crazy.
Too much? No, I didn't say it was wrong. You said there's such thing as too much money. I didn't say it was wrong. You said
I said there's such
what
a thing
saying,
as making too much money. You said yes. So if you're saying
yes.
Okay, so then that means what then? If you said yes, what does that mean?
That mean? Well, it creates greed. It creates greed, and that's what it does. And with too much money, it creates greed because you never have enough.
Okay.
I don't care. You could have gazillions of dollars, and it still ain't enough because I need more. I can't stop. It's like a person. If there's too much thing, it's like saying there's a such thing as too much food. Yes, there is. Too much of anything.
Okay.
Too much or too little of anything is detrimental to your health. Remember that statement.
I will. And on that note, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's itinerary for her trip to Asia does not list Taiwan as a destination. Pelosi left Hawaii today amid speculation that she might travel to Taiwan amid tensions between the U.S. and China. Pelosi's office says she is leading a congressional delegation that is to make stops in Singapore, Malaysia, South Korea, and Japan. China says debris from a rocket used to send parts of its new space station into orbit fell into the sea near the Philippines today. According to NASA, Beijing failed to provide important information that would have helped pinpoint where the debris might fall. Here's John Ruich.
China launched the Long March 5B rocket on July 24th. It delivered a laboratory unit to the country's space station, which is under construction. The government said most of the final stage of the rocket burned up after entering the atmosphere early on Sunday. It identified an area in the waters off the island of Palawan in the Philippines as the landing area for the remaining bits. In a statement, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said China did not share specific trajectory information as the rocket fell to Earth, which is established best practice in order to allow reliable predictions of potential debris impact risk. The risk can be significant, he said, with heavy lift vehicles like the Long March 5B. John Ruich, NPR News, Beijing.
Former Philippines President Fidel Ramos has died. He was 94. Ramos served as president for 6 years in the 1990s. He led the National Police Force under the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos, but spurred Marcos' downfall when he defected. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
We get it. You're obsessed with us. If you want to make NPR your entire personality, head over to the NPR online shop to deck yourself out in all sorts of NPR gear. Totes, hats, t-shirts, the works. Live your truth at shop.npr.org.
Welcome back in. 347-8501-272 is the call number. It is time for State Your Case. Pastor Steve states the case where we read comments from the world famous chat room and from social media outlets. And Mr. Elias, man, you have anything you want to add to the mix here?
No, sir. There's nothing in there, sir.
All right. Well, let me pull something here. I have a few. Pastor Steve checks in as always. Says, peace and blessings, family. He said, although I missed a very informative commentary of Mr. Jerome Esprit and the down-to-earth responses of Miss Vanessa, my guilty pleasure, listening to Jay and Mr. Elias go at it for 2 hours. God bless you two, brothers. This show made my day. God bless you two, Pastor. Dana from Vermont. Vermont, have we ever had anybody... I can't remember ever seeing anyone from Vermont. Wow, that's interesting. Good morning. I fully support your comments on transgender athletes participating in women's sports. Well, thank you, Dana. Brenda. Is that Brenda or Brandy? Oh, it's Brandy. Brandy from Chicago. I love the passion of the two hosts. The funny thing is that they're both saying the same thing. Funny but entertaining. All right. And, who is this? Lonnie from the great state of Georgia said, glad that the Dems are finally making inroads in the upcoming elections. Wow. And I didn't have time to pull the rest of them down because me and Mr. Elias is arguing, so we're going to have to just, we were arguing. We were having a very animated discussion. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go grab them all. But on that note, you know what time it is.
Online radio at its best.
Well, we're starting our final thoughts a little early, but nevertheless, let's get into them. It's time for our final thoughts, and the man that gets the first and last word here on the serious side, Mr. Elias, man, what are your final thoughts?
Look, folks. If you get out and vote and they don't count your vote, if they say your voting rights are restricted, fight like hell to get them back. Because that's the only thing you can do. Because right now, the Republican Party is trying to put stuff in place so that we will not have a democracy. We'll have an autocracy. So fight like hell for your voting rights. Because people don't realize, our younger generation does not realize that we didn't have the right to vote 60 years ago. You know, 70 years ago, we didn't have the right to vote.
I was going to say, get that number right.
They didn't have the right to vote. They would come up and you had to guess how many marbles were in a jar, or you had to do perform certain tasks before you can get the right to vote. Folks, if you don't pay attention, they'll have us back there. So get out there and vote, folks. Get out there and voice your opinion. Fight like hell. But if you don't, we'll have a president. We won't have a president. We'll have a king.
Do you honestly think, Mr. Elias, your message is resonating with people?
If I reach one person, that's all I care about. That's all I care about. If I reach one, that's all I care.
Because
that one can reach another one, and that one can reach another one.
So by talking to the youth, do you get that your messages is resonating with people when you talk to the young people? I remember you were saying you were talking to young people before, and that they were like, are you optimistic about it?
In some instances, not. You know, but hey, you know, I still don't stop talking about it. I don't care. I talk to the youth all I can. I mean, if we're at a party and we get to talking, and we're standing around talking, I always tell them, get out and vote, you know. And that's how I found out some of my partners' sons are for Donald Trump, because they said, I did better with Donald Trump. And I said, you do realize that that the former president, he was running off the former president's agenda, right? No, that was Donald Trump's agenda. I said, okay, you say so. I said, you probably need to do a little research on it. I don't dog them out. And I've had people ask me, you know, why should I vote? Don't give me that same old excuse about somebody died for my right to vote. And I said, well, what would you die for? They paid the ultimate sacrifice so you could put your name on a ledger and vote. They died for you. Now, what would you die for besides a drink or some drugs? What would you die for? Making some money.
Interesting. And when you tell him about, you know, running on, basically he wasn't running on President Obama's agenda. He was really reaping the benefits of policies that were already in place. So all he did was ride the wave.
That's
basically
the same difference.
It's a little different. But what about this? What about the fact that, are you concerned about African-Americans and, you know, Latino, I guess I should just say people of color turning out to vote? Do you think that because people are so disgruntled and dismayed with, you know, the current administration, do you think, are you concerned about, you know, that whole, what role that plays in the upcoming elections as far as getting, you know, getting people out to vote?
Well, I'm always concerned with people of color getting out to vote, because we don't go out in droves. We should go out in droves. You know, if you look at the last election, a lot of us did vote, but there was like 25% of us that didn't, people of color. So, you know.
Jerome always says when we look at that number, he says that, you know, we should not be blaming black folks for not coming out to vote. We should be blaming those white women, those middle-aged white women, or those, you know, yeah, those women, middle-class white women not voting.
They said they were not going to vote for Trump. Yeah.
Right.
My take is this. I blame both of them. The bottom line is get off your lazy ass and go vote. Go vote.
Ching,
how long
ching.
Does it take you to go vote? You know, you need to
well,
go vote.
But you just said earlier in the show. Running. Yeah,
huh?
But you just said earlier in the show how they're making it more difficult. I mean, it's easy for people who have 3 or 4 cars and have the means to get to where they have to go, but there are some people who don't have their identification. There are some people who have to catch buses to where they go, and in some places, they don't even have public transportation to go. So it's not something that's getting in your car and going. I think sometimes we look at this thing through our lenses, and we're not recognizing the hardships that some people have to do just getting from point A to point B. So to those folks, what do you say?
What do I say? Look at the people of South Africa when they stood in line 3 days to vote. What I say to them people is, you can find a way to get other things done. You can find a way to vote. You can find a way to do it.
That's kind of nonchalant about it, but okay.
How's that nonchalant?
Well, you just said that, what did you just say? What did you just say?
Some of these people, if they want to go out and party and go get a drink, they can go get it.
Oh, but we're talking about older Americans, Mr. Elias. People that's in their late freaking 70s, and they're not going to no club.
You know what? The older Americans, they get a pass. Bottom line, I'm talking about the young folks.
They get
don't get out and vote. They get a pass. The older folks.
Oh, wow.
If they got children, the children should come pick them up and take them out to vote. We used to pick my mother up and take her to vote all the time.
So it still falls back on the younger generation, in your opinion?
Yeah. You pick up, if you got a parent, you got an aunt, an uncle that can't get out and vote, you go say, hey, you want to go vote, uncle? You want to go vote, aunt? Hell, to me, it's simple. You ask these people, because these younger people got cars. They can go anywhere they want to when they got to go.
So still falls on the younger generation, in your opinion, basically. They have to do their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it falls on us too, because we didn't teach the younger generation the way the things that we should have been teaching.
Huh. Okay. All right.
It
words
on
from
us
the.
Too, so
yeah, I guess you're right. All right. Words from Mr. Elias. My final thoughts are, you know, once again, the thing is, sometimes I sit back and think about how this show started and where this show is today. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and act as if this show is, oh my God, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread, because we're not. But it was amazing. It was just an idea. An idea basically was the fact that somebody called into the J. Ryle show saying that instead of y'all shucking and jiving, y'all should be more concerned about the plight of black folks. And, you know, we kind of laughed at him. Huh?
Mm-hmm. That was me that did that one.
That was not you. It was a call and yes. Said that. Stop it.
I called in and I said, what? Okay, you're right. That wasn't me.
Oh, please, remember, you know, find the transcript. It wasn't you. Stop.
It was me, because you, Sean, and Matt, and somebody, I said, man, why are y'all doing this? Why don't y'all talk about some serious stuff? I know it was me.
You need to stop. Me. Oh, my God. I'm not. Stop, Mr. Elias. Stop it.
I was not included in the... Okay, you're right. That wasn't me. All right. You're right. That wasn't me.
You may have made comments about us having another platform, but stop it. You weren't. So you're trying to tell me you, this guy has hijacked my final thoughts. Pastor, you're getting exactly what you want. So, Mr. Elias, are you trying to tell me that you didn't? Okay, so you're trying to say we shouldn't have done the J. Ryle show?
I said, why are y'all doing all this shucking and jiving instead of talking about serious stuff? You guys should be talking about things that matter.
Okay.
I know that was me.
Okay. Well, I beg to differ,
and
sir.
And y'all
but,
laughed
you know,
at me like I was a clown or something.
Well, you were. But I beg to differ. And I'm going to reclaim my time, sir. So anywho, before I was so rudely interrupted by that dude, at the end of the day, we said, okay, we're going to do one Saturday a month where we would do some serious stuff. But then it got to a point where we saw the response, and then we decided to go ahead and do a Sunday show. Me, Rob Smooth, and GOG, the original host of the Serious Side. And, you know, I'm so proud of what it's become since then. So anyway, folks, have a wonderful and blessed Sunday. And just remember that, your vote makes a difference. Your participation in the process makes a difference. If you're not going to participate in the process, then you have no voice. Sit down and be quiet, or if I can borrow the words of the infamous Laura Ingraham, shut up and dribble, or shut up and just do what you do for a living, because you have no say-so in the democratic process if you're not going to participate in the democratic process. And on that note, Mr. Elias, it's Sunday, and we're talking serious stuff. What time is it, my friend?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Folks, it's been a pleasure to serve you, and we really appreciate you supporting this show. So, for Mr. Elias, I'm J. Ryle. Vanessa, Jerome, we love you. And remember, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the Serious Side. God bless. Take care and be safe, and we'll see you next week right here on the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.